Hey everyone, I'm Rusty Corum, Senior Pastor here at New Hope, and I'm so glad you've joined us. For those of you that are watching this service at 5:30 on Saturday or 9 on Sunday, if any questions come up, if there's anything we can do to help you, please ask one of the hosts. And if you're watching on demand or some other time, you can, any questions that you have, anything that you feel like we might could help you with, just send us an email at info@newhope.org. We're in a series called Hello, My Name Is, and what we're doing is we're looking at the ways God describes himself. There are different names used for God in the Bible, and each of them show a facet of his character, his nature. We've looked at the fact that God is almighty. We've seen he's provider. He's the God that is peace. He's our rock. Last week, we looked at the fact that God says he's the one who sees, which means he sees everything. Everything is fully known by him. There are no secrets, there are no surprises in heaven. And the fact that God knows everything can be a great comfort to us. There are many times when we feel like others don't understand, or we've been misrepresented, or maybe we've done something good, didn't get credit for it, or we've been blamed for something that we didn't do that was wrong, but we got in trouble. God knows everything, and it's a great comfort to know that he not only knows it all, but there'll be a time when he settles all the books, and there'll be a time when justice reigns, and that we won't be locked into kind of the world we live in now, which is in many ways broken. So it's just knowing that God sees everything, and he sees everything about me, my motives, my intentions, my actions, my thoughts, and all that. It is a comforting thing when I am trying to do what is right. It can be extremely uncomfortable when I'm trying to hide, when I know I'm doing wrong, even when it's maybe not something I've done, but when my motives are wrong. God even knows my intentions. Can you imagine how, I've joked about this before, but I've said, I'm just glad someone couldn't read my thought bubble. There are times when I might be smiling, but inside I'm stewing. There might be some things I'm thinking about somebody. The last thing I'd want him to do is know that. God does. So the wisest thing is for us to be just humble and honest and real before him, because he already knows it all. And we looked last week at the story of King David. We looked at the beginning of his life when he became a valiant war hero. And then we looked later in his life where he had moved from faithfully trusting God to moving into arrogance and pride that cost him and others dearly. He was restored. But as we see in that, we see a picture of this God that sees it all. He knows us, everything about us. And in David's writing, and by the way, if you missed last week, I'd really encourage you to look at that. It was the idea that God sees all. And this week we're looking at something David wrote. David was a Renaissance man way before the Renaissance. He was not only the king, he was a valiant warrior, he was a poet, he was a musician. And we're going to be looking at one of the most famous songs that he wrote, and it's Psalm 23. And it's focusing on what our word about God or God's name is this week, and that is he is shepherd, which is just a remarkable thing to think about. But I'm going to read the psalm, and then we're going to go through it together, kind of an overview of this. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. One of the key things about this psalm, as we look at, I know many of you have heard this over years. I'm using a newer translation, the New Living Translation, but you get the point of it. And David's idea here, and remember, David was a shepherd. That was how he started his life off. He was regularly taking care of sheep and protecting them. In fact, what prepared him to go to battle and fight the Philistine leader Goliath was what he had learned as a shepherd. But in this simple song, it's beautiful, but what he is saying is, like sheep need a shepherd, you and I need God. And sheep, some of us have been around sheep, all of us have seen pictures of them. Almost everyone looks at sheep and think they're just adorable and cute and non-threatening. Like, here's a picture of some sheep. I mean, there's nothing vicious about them. There's nothing dangerous about them. And this idea of using sheep is deliberately chosen by David because sheep desperately need leadership and protection. Just a few things about sheep. One is they're notoriously nearsighted. Sheep cannot see that far ahead. Things are a blur, but they can see right in front of them. They can see right on the ground. And so because they can't see that well, they can get in all kinds of trouble. They can wander off. They can get lost really, really quickly. They're not really, if anyone ever says you're as smart as a sheep, that's not a compliment. For instance, sheep notoriously overgraze. If you put sheep in an area of grass, they'll chew it down to the dirt and the roots and kill it. So the shepherd, he has to constantly move them so that they don't overgraze an area, so that the grass can grow back and still provide food for them. Sheep regularly need to be sheared. If they get too much wool on them, they can lie down and not be able to get back up. The way they're shaped, I mean, a sheep can die. It can get very sick and die if it rolls over. If it's got too much fur, it can't get back up, and without a shepherd's help, it's lost. So if anyone ever says you're as strong as a sheep, you're as wise as sheep, you're as competent as a sheep, it's probably not a great compliment. But David's using this in drawing an analogy of us and sheep, because he sees that there's some things we have in common that if we're not careful, we can forget. He starts the psalm off. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." And what he's getting at here is that this Almighty God invites us to be under his leadership and his care. Too many times I hear us, and I might slide into this some myself too, we think of God as our friend or our companion. Maybe he's a great advisor for us. But in reality, remember we talked about him, he's the Almighty God. And that means he's our commander, he's our leader, he's the boss. He is the one in charge. God's not interested in us just periodically calling him up and asking his opinion. He wants us to be committed to follow him. And the amazing thing is this Almighty Creator God has invited us to be part of his flock, to be part of his family. It's an invitation that came at an extremely high price. And he has what we lack. He provided what we needed through the death and resurrection of his son. He is the one that gives us everything we need. And without him, we will, just like a sheep, we can get lost. Listen to what it says here in Isaiah 53:6. "All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all." It's talking about when Jesus was coming, that we like sheep, you remember, kind of nearsighted, we don't really see that well, as we go off and we try to make life work on our own. We try to figure things out. We think we know better. We're pretty sure that, well, I know this is where what God says, and this is where he's leading, but I just think I can do a lot better than this. I think I'm going to wander over here and do this or that. A sheep without a shepherd is either one of two things. It's either lost or it becomes lunch for a predator. Sheep desperately need a shepherd. You and I desperately need a relationship with a Savior God that loves us, that will lead us well, that will take care of us. With God as our shepherd, everything we ever will need will be taken care of by Him, and more, but everything we need. The psalm goes on after the first sentence. It says, He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. So here's the point of this, among many, but the main one is that as we humbly follow, God will provide everything we need to live full and successful lives. I'll say it one more time. As you and I, or if you and I will humbly follow Him, He will provide absolutely everything we need to live full and successful lives. And it mentions several things in here, but how many people do you know today? And I'm not going to ask you to, I don't know if you're watching this by yourself or with a group, but do the people you know around you, are they really at a restful place, a place of contentment? Do you really see peace in your life? Regardless of your circumstances, do you have the strength and do you have a confident strength that you can face whatever's coming along? Are you certain that you're following the right path for your life? These are things God offers you and me, and it doesn't take long to look around and see that people are really struggling. There are people that are restless, people that are hurting, people that are fearful, people that are anything but peaceful. And we try to find all kind of ways to satisfy ourselves, to make us feel better. But at the end of the day, we were created for this relationship with God, and that's the only place we are really going to ultimately find healthy rest and peace and strength. I'll give you another illustration here using sheep as an example. This is a picture of Barak. Barak was an Australian sheep that was recently found. He had been wandering off by himself. He'd been gone for quite a while. And as you look at him, he's kind of a hideous looking sheep. The fur on him had not been cut in quite a while, and it was about 77 pounds of fur and dirt and debris in him. If he had fallen over, he would not have been able to get up. If he had gotten into water, if he had gotten especially into a running stream, he would have drowned. And by the way, if anyone ever tells you you swim as good as a sheep, that's not a compliment either. It says in this psalm that he leads me beside peaceful streams. The shepherd knows that sheep are not good swimmers, and also that the wool that the sheep is surrounded in, it'll absorb water quickly. So the shepherd always takes the sheep to still waters, to pools that are not running, so the sheep can dip its face in and drink. And if for some reason it did fall in, the shepherd could immediately get it with his staff. We'll talk about that in a minute. But a sheep sticking its head in running, swift running water is dead. So God is our shepherd. He takes us to places where we can rest. He provides peaceful streams for us where we can, with confidence and security, drink. He does everything He can to give us the strength we need to live the life He wants us to and to head the direction He wants us to. Here's a later on picture of Barak. He had been found by some rescuers. They took off the 77 pounds of fur. I guess because he had it on so long, they had to give him that little jacket. But he's now in a safe place. You and I have a tendency, it's our human nature apart from God, to wander and do what we think is best. I'm wanting rest, so I'm going to go find something that makes me feel restful or peaceful. It could be all kind of self-medicating. It could be relationships that aren't healthy but make me feel good in the moment. It could be burying myself in my work. It could be escaping from problems in a way that God would not say yes to. Like sheep, we wander, we want to do what we want to do, we go our own way, and by going our own way apart from God, we can get in all kind of trouble. It is only through trusting and obeying God that we can have this sense of peace and rest and confidence that gives us the strength to carry on. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. This is one of those verses that I remind myself of this virtually every day. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Too many times we think we are smarter than God. We think that we've got a better plan. Oh, that might be good for others, and I'm sure that's what God would like, but I know this will work out. I'll take matters in my own hands. And just like a sheep that wanders off, we can get lost, we can get serious trouble, and there are predators, there are enemies that want to take us out. And the safest, best, most healing place to be is in the presence of our shepherd and our Lord. Psalm goes on to say, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. The point I want to make to this is, when you and I are close to the shepherd, we never have to live fearfully. That doesn't mean that we won't at times feel afraid. It just means that we don't have to live fear-based lives. Walking beside the shepherd, the sheep are never better protected. There can be times when you're going to experience a lot of things that look dangerous and scary. And it doesn't say in this, if I walk next to the shepherd, I will never go through the darkest valley. It doesn't say that at all. It says, even when I walk through the dark valley, I don't have to be afraid. You and I are going to go through some really tough times this side of heaven. There are enemies, there's dangers, there are diseases, there's scary things that come our way, there are going to be struggles, there are going to be trials. But what it's saying here is we don't have to live based in fear. We don't have to live fear of the future, fear of what's going on now. We don't have to be victims of things that have happened to us in the past. I don't have to live like a victim. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to numb myself to get away from fear. God offers you and me peace and confidence and hope that is never going to be found ultimately in our circumstances. That peace and confidence and hope are found in a person. And when you and I are living our lives today, we can have a growing sense of confidence that whenever the difficulties come, the dark times, the painful losses and all, that God will be with us and He'll give us everything we need. Isaiah 41:10, another great verse to memorize. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. And this phrase, victorious right hand, was a Hebrew term. It just meant that it was that holding out that arm, that right arm of strength, and I'm with you. It means I will not abandon you at all. I will be right here. You can count on me. And that's what God is saying, that we can count on Him, even when we're going through the darkest valley. I got a call this past week, and it was a surprise. Some of you have heard of a woman named Emily Liu. She lives in the Lorton area. She's been missing since the 3rd of June. There have been all kind of investigations going on and trying to find out what happened. It definitely appears that there was something, some foul play that took place, and Fairfax County is investigating this pretty full bore. But I got a call, and I was asked if I could pray at a vigil for Emily Liu. And I said yes. And the reason they called, these were co-workers of Ken Wood. Ken Wood was just a major part of New Hope. He was a great friend. He was a leader in many ways. He was on our leadership team. Ken died recently of a very severe brain cancer. And there are quite a few of us that got to walk through that with him. The cancer came, there were tons of treatment that were treatments that were tried and done, but in the end, they weren't able to arrest the cancer, and Ken died. Mid-40s, way too young. But people watched Ken walk through this dark valley, and it was so hard. And they saw in that that while there were times when he was afraid, he didn't live a life of fear. And people were able to see that God was with Ken. And the reason I'm saying that is I was asked if I could lead this prayer vigil that we did this past week, because people had seen in Ken something that was so strong, and that they saw something in him that they wanted to pass on to Emily Lou's family. And we had done the funeral for Ken at New Hope, and his coworkers and neighbors and others had seen in Ken something that made them realize that this God that Ken followed was really a good shepherd, and that no matter what you're going through, this God will walk with you through it. And so we were able to pray with Emily Lou's family and friends. And again, it's a despicable thing to think that these horrible things happen. We live in a broken world, and that's the reality of it. But we don't live in a world that is absent of God's presence and his power and his ability to walk with us through whatever comes our way. Jesus said this, John 16:33. He was talking about the difficulties people are going to face. And even though I follow him, that doesn't mean I'm going to be exempt of the struggles and the pain and loss. Because Jesus said, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Peace in a person, not in circumstances. He said, here on earth you'll have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. And we've never been promised. There'll be people that will try to sell you this, that if you follow God and their particular plan, your life is just going to get easier and better and more fun. You'll have more stuff. It's just going to be happier and happier circumstances. That is not what Jesus promised. He promised that in a broken world with sin and all the consequences of that, that he will not leave us alone. He'll not abandon us. And that we can walk through this life with confidence, not because our circumstances are getting better, but because the one we walk with will never rip us off. He says in this last thing that I read, he says, your rod and your staff comfort me. And I want to just mention this just a moment. The shepherd had two tools. One was a rod and the other is a staff. A rod would be a heavy weighted stick. Now, this is a tire thumper. You can get these at truck stops. The stick or the rod that the shepherd carried was a defensive weapon. Used it for several things. One is when they were coming up to an area, the shepherd could use the rod to beat the bushes, make sure the snakes, if there were snakes or any kind of predators there, it would scare them away. Could pound the ground to scare predators away too, especially at night. If there were enemies coming to endanger the sheep, he would use it as a club. He could throw it, but he would use it as a fighting tool to protect his sheep. The other thing the shepherd had was a staff, and a staff was a long stick with a crooked end on the end of it. And the shepherd used the staff to prod and to direct the sheep. He would give them verbal instructions, but he would use that. He'd nudge them. At times, he'd use the staff to swat the sheep if they were getting out of line and getting into dangerous territory. If the sheep got stuck somewhere on a ledge and needed help getting off, he could use the hook on that around the sheep's neck. If a sheep fell into water and was floating away, he could use the hook to rescue him. So the rod and the staff were two tools. And in the time that David wrote this, people were very familiar with the tools of a shepherd. And what he's saying is that God has the same kind of tools. God has his Holy Spirit. God has his word. God is very, very present. He's ready to help, and he will help us in any way we need. He'll protect us from enemies when we stay close to him. There are times he's going to nudge us. There are sometimes he may need to discipline us to get us back in line, but it's always out of love and concern for us. He is fully able and prepared to come to our rescue at any moment. I never have to live in fear. I never have to, when I'm in the darkest valley, I don't have to wonder if God cares about me. I can know that he does. And now the psalm shifts. It's gone from us being sheep to recognizing that we're God's children, that he's invited us into his family. He says, "You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings." In the Hebrew culture, hospitality was a big deal. And what it's saying here is that God loves us being part of his family. He's invited us into it. And throughout our life, we can know that he's going to prepare everything we need to thrive. And this idea of preparing a feast, it means that he has provided lavishly everything you and I need, even when we're surrounded by enemies and trouble and problems. And he's the point I want to make here too is this, that the secret to experiencing all of the good that God has available to us is to gaze at him and glance at our problems. This is the opposite of what many of us do regularly. What we do is the opposite. We gaze at our problems. We stare at the problems. We focus so much on them, on our worries and our concerns and fears, that we can't even see God in the midst of it. How many times have you gone to bed at night and you couldn't sleep because of all the fears and worries you had of what could happen? Or you lose sleep, or you comfort eat because you're just so worked up about things that are going to happen. And what its reason is because we spend an inordinate amount of time focusing on the problems or potential problems. And because the problems, the more we focus on them, the bigger they are, the smaller God seems to us. And so what happens is whatever you focus the most of your attention on is what's going to drive you. You know, we've looked in this series, you know, God is almighty. God is fully aware of everything about us. God offers us peace. God is ready to meet every one of our needs. He's the rock that we can stand firmly on. He's never caught off guard. He knows exactly what's going on. So it just makes the most sense to set my gaze on him, to put my primary focus on God, and then glance back at the problems, to look at my problems in perspective of a big God. That's why it's so important to daily start off reading with your Bible and praying and remembering who God is, to be connected in a local church and to have Christian friends that will pray for you, the people that you're honest and open with about, so that we can urge each other along to just set our focus on God and not let the problems become so much of our focus that God fades in the distance. Isaiah 26, I love this. It says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you." I set my attention, I give God my primary focus day in and day out. It says, "Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. If I stay close to him, I will not be shaken. He provides blessings in the midst of trouble, grace and hope and peace, and these are available to any one of us who humbly and genuinely trust him." Perfectly? No. But humbly and you know, coming back to him regularly. And then let me just go through this ending real quick because I love this. It says, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." God's goodness and unfailing love, it says here, will pursue us. Just like the shepherd goes after his sheep because he loves and he cares about them. With God as my shepherd, with God as your shepherd, we can live with confidence and security now and forever, no matter what we're facing or what we will face in coming days. God has the complete capacity to give us everything we need. He's capable, he's ready, and he's eager to meet our needs so that we can live, I mean, really live full lives. This past week, I made a quick trip down to South Carolina to see my mom. Mom has Alzheimer's. She does not know who I am. She sometimes will kind of recognize me as a friendly face, but she doesn't know me. But there will be a time when mom will be restored to herself. I am completely confident to that. There'll be a time when history wraps up and mom will be healed. She'll be strong. She'll be in her right mind. John 14 gives us this confidence. It says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me, Jesus says. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If it were not so, I have told you that I was going to prepare a place for you. In other words, I'm not going to ever lie to you. I'm telling you the truth. When everything is ready, I'll come and get you so that you'll always be with me where I am. And at that time, when history wraps up, when we're with him, everything will be good and right and whole. This side of heaven, dark valleys and difficulties, but with a God that we can trust in, and ultimately he's going to make all things right. Wherever you are right now, I want to invite you, if you've never committed your life to follow Jesus Christ, please let one of our hosts know. Ask a Christian friend you have, or if you're not, don't have anyone like that, just email us at info@newhope.org, and we would love to help you with that. If you've strayed, if you've gotten away and you think, oh, it's, you know, I'm too far gone, the shepherd is reaching out. He is ready to bring you back in. Whatever you do right now, just, you can trust him. You can know that he will take good care of you. His goodness and his unfailing love will pursue you. Have asked Brandon Bennett to lead us in prayer. Brandon is our key video editor, and he works with our young adults here at New Hope. So, Brandon, please pray for us.
Hey, everyone. My name is Brandon, and I work on staff here at New Hope. I'm just going to invite you to pray with me today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for being a good shepherd. And my prayer today is that we recognize the need for a shepherd in our lives, Lord, that we recognize that in the analogy of sheep and shepherd, that sheep can't always see what's ahead, Lord. And in the same way, we can't always see what's ahead, but you do. And you care for and you provide in ways that we cannot do for ourselves, Lord. So I pray that we wake up each day and we submit to you and we say, Lord, I can't do this apart from you, that not only will my life be better with you, I want to see what you have for me, Lord. I want you to lead the way. God, we love you. We thank you for being a good shepherd. It's in your name we pray. Amen.